From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. Our technical director is Jason Croft. And dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are back with us. They're here for Focus on the first Friday of the month. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana. Listeners, if you've got questions about dog care, behavior, or training, give us a call or drop us an email message. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Carol, Jim, good to see you. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy
to
New
you,
Year
Celeste.
To you as well.
Is it the New Year already?
It's only the 6th of January, but it's so nice out you could pretend it's March 6th.
We've got January thaw right here at the beginning of the month.
Nothing much to even thaw.
No.
Although Monday was pretty. The snowfall at times on Monday was very pretty.
It was. As long as you didn't have to be out.
Yeah,
on the
highway I was out earlier
or driving because it was pretty slick.
It was slick.
Yeah, and it's especially nice for people that like dog sledding.
But there wasn't much snow for you.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It's not nice for people that like dog sledding. Well, it's winter. We should have snow. That's the law.
Well,
we have a call
on
already,
that.
Jim. I can see
you and Carol can disagree. But let's take a call. This is a listener in Indiana, line 4. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sort of twisting the rules here a minute, but perhaps the experience with dogs could give me some information about a tabby I have who constantly wants to eat, no matter what. Even sits around by the bowl where I put the food to feed her. And I'm wondering if this sort of thing is something that just happens with a lovely cat or something unusual, and I should have looked into in some way.
My first question would be, does she have a fever? Does she have diarrhea?
Nope. Everything is...
Is she drinking a lot of water?
That's a difficult one for me to answer because I got three water bowls all over the house.
How many cats do you have?
I've got three cats and one black lab.
Well, excessive eating is generally not a symptom of a disease. Usually it's the opposite. And my guess, although cats remain a mystery, but this particular cat probably figured out that if she sits near a bowl, you'll give her food. The thing about felines and canines is they're never hungry and they're always hungry.
Yeah.
That is, they could have just eaten a zebra or something like that, and if you gave them another zebra, they'd eat it. So they're never full. They never know where their next meal is coming from. And even though, well, my own dogs, every night I tell them, we'll feed you tonight. Don't worry. You don't have to scream. You don't have to. They don't believe me.
Yeah.
And so they scream and scream and scream, and I want my food. And you give them their food, and then they say, well, tomorrow at this time I'll feed you again. And they don't believe you.
That happens during the time change.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yeah. They think, okay, I was right all along. They're not feeding me ever again.
So your cat has learned, my guess is that if it gives signals like, hey, feed me, then you'll feed it. And when a dog does that, what we do is we don't feed them. We just feed them at the regular time.
Regular time.
So providing that they're not – they have some other symptoms, of course.
Yeah. So if you have three cats, how are you certain that each cat is getting a fair portion of the food and that the other cats aren't eating the food that this one cat –
Well, that I watch pretty carefully. So that's only happened every once in a while. She one time – shooed away my favorite cat from the bowl that she was eating at and went ahead and ate that food. And since then, it may have happened another time before that, but since I've seen it, I'm very careful about when I feed the other cat, so to speak. And I just stay around, make sure that when the cat finishes it, does what she wants to with it, I pick it up and I replace the food back into the container that it came from originally. Now, there's a second question that it's about as important as that one. I have a black lab. And for a long time, I always thought it was a regular lab, you know, full blood and all that. It's heavy. It's, and this is a friend of mine talking to me now. He said, that's not a black lab. Somebody's put a black lab and a maybe a Rottweiler together. And I found out they call them rotten labs, which I think is a very despicable thing. But anyway, Mackie is, weighs in about 100, 102. And I was told by my friend that much, that's heavier than a normal black lab. And just incidentally, a black lab that was running away from its owner ran across the street, and he says, look at that. And I looked at that one, and I said, now, did you see that dog's much slimmer, not as wide, and doesn't look as muscular? I said, well, that's true. But Mackie is very muscular and has wide thorax. And but it has an incredibly docile attitude about life and stuff.
Well, I don't see that it matters at this point. If you love your dog, it really doesn't matter if he's not what you thought he was when you got him as a puppy.
Okay.
And Rottweiler is a really very nice dog, so.
Yeah. It's just sort of clarification for me, that's all. And because there are a couple people who look at him and they back off.
Punch him in the nose. The thing is that in within the breed, there are lines of purebred dogs in the AKC anyway that are called bench dogs, and there's a line that are called field dogs. The field dogs are more elegant, which is, say, they're finer boned, they're not as big. The bench dogs... and for I keep yelling at Robin about this. She yells at me about stuff. I yell at her about stuff. Show dogs are always about 10 pounds overweight, especially Malamutes or the bigger dogs where, you know, you want an impressive-looking male. And
yeah, he's impressive.
People put weight on them for that purpose. Your dog may be out of bench lines and just and – but whether where it comes from or not, he still could be fat.
Yeah.
And being fat is not a function of being a mixed breed or not a mixed breed. It's a function of eating too much.
Yeah.
Does he sit by his bowl and wait for you to feed him?
No, not that way, no. And I wouldn't call it fat. I mean, he's muscular. I mean, you touch him and you feel muscles. And it's not like Gracie the cat, for example, who's got a big belly.
When I touch my dogs, I feel hair usually.
Yeah, well, this has got hair, of course, but I mean, you can it just feels ready to to go. He's extremely muscular, and there's not enough other labs floating around in my community to sort of rank him against.
I've seen labs that are very muscular. I mean, get a bunch of labs coming through our dog training club, and you see some that are, as Jim described it, your females are usually more slim and elegant than the males. The males have the heavier head and the wider neck, but I wouldn't really worry about it too much.
Okay.
As long as he's, are buddies, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Surely. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for the call this morning. And I guess I would say if that tabby is heavy, that's a conversation to have with a veterinarian, right? And maybe put on a different kind of feed.
I've seen some really heavy cats over the years, and it's very hard to get weight off of a cat and a dog, but hard on a cat. And you know, we feed them, so we're directly responsible for the end result when they get that enormous.
I have a story to tell about
Frisbee.
Oh, we don't want to hear your stories. I'm sorry. Oh, she looks so sad. I'm sorry.
Frisbee, our much beloved
cat. I won't interrupt
Frisbee,
you or anything.
He was one heck of a smart guy. And anyway, when his bowl was empty, he would lie down on his side on the floor, and he would reach out a paw, and he would touch the bowl like his lamp was about to go out. And so
I hope you had pictures of that.
I don't. But anyway.
But you have mental pictures.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'd fill the bowl up, and he'd say thanks, and then he'd get up and walk away.
He just wanted to make sure it was there when he wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm telling you, dogs don't believe us when we say, I'll feed you.
Yeah. It is funny about the time change, though, because when it got dark.
That was
earlier,
hilarious was like, this year for some reason.
They're waiting, you know. It's like, hey, they're tapping their biolog. They're tapping their internal clock.
And I had to stay firm. I mean, I'm not going to be home at this time.
Yeah,
the next night,
3:45.
And so I had to stay firm. I relented about 30 minutes into their regular time because they were laying there just looking at me so abject and forlorn. Okay, you wore me down.
Yeah. Well, it's like how they greet you when you come home. It's like, we thought we were never going to see you again, right? You know, all that love just
You know, I think
up.
As much as I know that they love me and as I love them, but I think when I come home from work, they know they're going to have dinner real soon. And I have to, you know, because they're so overjoyed to see me and happy. And I'm sure they are, but they also have it figured out.
She who has the control over
food has just walked in the door.
Is home. So this is Focus, and we're talking this morning with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email. We would love to hear from you. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Carol, you mentioned the snow that we had on Monday, which was very light and intermittent.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. But you know what we saw? People put out salt or various other kind of products.
Oh, my God,
to
the
melt.
Salt that was in front of one of the grocery stores, you could hear it crunch.
I'm thinking, you know, I should get the car washed to knock all that off. And I'm also thinking, what about people who are walking dogs and come across that kind of material?
See, you can control what you put down on your sidewalk and your backyard and find one that's pet friendly, but you can't control what the municipality puts down. So it's always a good idea. I've never had a problem with mine licking their feet after a walk, but it's always a good idea to at least wipe off their feet after a walk, especially not only when the salt is down and it's fresh, but when you can just even see it because it dries to that white cast and it's a prudent thing to do to wipe their feet off.
Yeah, because if you know what it can do to your car,
you
don't want that on skin.
You know what happened with that snow Monday, though? I had every intention to take down that tree, that Christmas tree. And I dragged all the totes upstairs, and with that, it started that beautiful snowfall. And I had the tree lit, and I thought, why are you doing this? Enjoy it for the day. Even though it's going to set me behind, but
well, you got this
weekend.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was just, and my dogs loved going out in it. You guys did, but it was so brief and sporadic, but it was so cold and windy. So they must have liked it, Jim.
Yeah, for reasons I can't explain, the Malamutes always love snow. And they roll in it and jump in it and bite it.
Yeah. Well, mine didn't go quite that ecstatic, but they were pleased with it.
Let's take some more calls.
Sure.
This is a listener on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I have a question. The earlier callers were talking about the feeding and obviously not being able to control how much the cat was eating and that it was getting so large. I have two Shih Tzus who I have them just self-feeding. They always have food down. And they have never gained over what their weight was when they were a year and a half old, and they are now 12 years old. And they will never eat when I'm not home. If the food is out, they don't want to eat. As soon as I get home, they're so happy that I'm here, and then they'll start eating. And they're litter mates. They're two males. And there's no alpha between the two of them. We have tried everything to try and figure out which is the dominant. There just is no such thing with these two. And they share their bowl of food. They have one water bowl, one food bowl, and they have this system worked out that whoever wants to eat first will be the first one to eat. And the one dog will go and eat about a quarter of the bowl, and then he'll come in and he will touch noses with the other dog, and that's his signal that, okay, I'm going to wipe my whiskers and let this go down, and you can go on there and do it. And they will do this back and forth the four times until the bowl is empty. And then you could put more food down, but they won't eat it. They're satisfied, and they'll rub their whiskers all over the floor and, you know, then start licking each other's face to clean off all the excess crumbs in this. And they have been this way since birth. They do everything together. And the vet, when we first took them, told us that, you know, they said, well, you need to let your kids know that when one dies, the other one will probably go within a week. And I thought this was very strange. And I just wanted to know whether or not, when you have dogs that are that closely knit together, is there really any way of saving, or will it actually die because its lifelong littermate has passed away?
I happened to read an article this week that was so interesting to me, and I'll send it to you too, Jim. It was very good, and it talked about not death, but the fact that you can separate dogs that have grown up together. Often you'll find dogs in the shelter that came from the same family, and the article explored the thought that dogs relate to humans better than they do to other dogs. Now, it's kind of a stretch, but they did some experiments and took some dogs that had lived together in outdoor pens for 2 years and took them on a walk, and just the one away from the other, and they were perfectly fine. Putting the dog in another pen situation without the other dog, there was some stress and tension, but it was fine with the person. So, you know, that theory, it holds true a bit, because if you have two dogs the same age, not necessarily grieving would cause the other to die, but the fact that they're the same age and their life is only so long.
Uh-huh.
It's just an enormous topic that can't be answered quickly, but...
Because these dogs, it just amazes me. When my daughters were younger, and I would say, okay, one of you has to walk one dog and one walks the other, because if you walk them both at the same time next to one another, their leashes get all tangled because they're just so excited to be on grass and everything. And whichever daughter would get done first, as soon as she would take the leash off, the dog would go running to the window and watch for the other dog to get back. And when the other dog would be done and he would hear him coming in, he would greet him at the door like he hadn't seen him in years. Just was so happy. And you take him to the groomers, they both have to go in at the same time. If you keep one in the cage and the other one is around the corner getting bathed, he'll howl unless you put him there where he can see his brother. They're that close. And that really bothered me that, you know, the vet was saying this, because I thought, boy, I don't want to. You know, you start wondering whether euthanasia is nicer on the remaining dog. But so there are studies that have shown that dogs will be able to.
Yeah, I'll have to find that link, because it was very, in a way, comforting to read, because, you know, if you have a litter of puppies, and Jim can attest to this, a litter of puppies, and then one by one they go to their new homes, you wonder, oh, about the poor one left behind, where did everybody go, and the ones that are new homes, how are they managing to cope? And they do. They do, because this study showed that they've been bred to enjoy human company.
Yeah, I don't think there's any scientific basis to the idea that two dogs such as these will die within a week of each other.
Uh-huh.
It happens in humans quite a bit, but I don't know if that's been studied. I'm reminded, and we've talked about this before, and I can't remember the dog's name, but it's an Akita in...
Japan.
Japan, mm-hmm. The owner.
The movie, oh my God.
There are two movies. One was made in Japan about an actual Akita and the original incident, and one was made with Richard Gere.
And an Akita, though.
And an Akita. And they just translated it to California. But the dog would escort the master to the train station every morning. He'd get on the train. He'd come back at 5 o'clock, and there would be the dog greeting him, and they'd walk home. Well, one day, of course, the guy dies in town, and the Akita shows up at 5 o'clock, and he's not there. So the Akita goes home, and the next day...
I can't even stand listening to this rendition.
He keeps coming back. But the Akita did that for several years. He didn't die.
Goodness.
He didn't curl up and die.
Isn't there a statue at the train station?
There is. Mm-hmm. And
I can't remember the name of the city in Japan, but
it was
Kyoto. Well, I'll have to look that up to watch.
Yeah, there are two versions of it.
Yeah.
Just Google Richard Gere and Akita,
Richard
and that movie will come up.
I think he went from Kyoto into Tokyo, and that train. We had.
Wow. But it's a true story.
It's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had years ago. We did a breeding, and we kept one of the dogs, and we kept him with his mother. Because he was a boy, she was a girl, and males tend to fight each other, and girls tend to fight each other. So, okay. And the problem with that, we realized later, was that we couldn't separate them. And they weren't Shih Tzus. They were, Paul was about a 100-pound dog.
Wow.
And so if he wanted to be by his mother, he would just rip through things.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, even if we're going to keep dogs together, such as the way you have, very early on, we'll send one for home to somebody else's for a weekend or something, so they get used to being apart.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with what you've done. I mean, it's
well,
really great.
They vie for mom's attention. They know mm-hmm. I'm the alpha, and I got them because I wanted lap dogs. I wanted dogs that weren't going to require a lot of exercise, but they just wanted to cuddle. And they will even, if they can't see me pop my head out above the bathtub, they will jump up onto the bathtub side to make sure I'm there.
They probably worry that you drowned.
They have to be right next to mom wherever. I go in to go to the bathroom, and they're sitting at my knees. It is just... It's gotten to be like, wow, okay, they're like my tails.
Well,
but that's what I wanted. But so that also makes me wonder whether when one goes, because they're so close to me, then I will be able to still give that type of affection, and it will be easier on them because of that human that's replacing that other dog that's no longer there.
There's the only thing that will tell you is when it occurs. There's no way to predict exactly how that will happen.
Wow.
Well, I want to thank you for your call. And
thank you.
We've got some other folks waiting, so we're going to take another call. Thanks for calling. This is Focus. Our guests, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. We're going to go next to Seymour. I believe that's Seymour, Indiana.
An introduction.
Line two. Hello.
Hi, this is Seymour, Illinois.
Oh, Seymour, Illinois. Okay.
I got on late. I didn't realize you were a dog trainer, so I have a question about a cat. But we just got a 4-year-old cat from the Humane Society about 3 weeks ago, and she's a lovely cat, very affectionate, and everything's fine. The thing is, she doesn't seem to be willing to drink water, except out of... A dripping...
I love that you asked that question.
Faucet. And I'm wondering, there may be times when it's difficult to do that, or we're not around for a while, or, we're out of town and somebody else is here, and I'm concerned that I know cats tend to have problems drinking water sometimes, and I'm wondering, is there any way to encourage her to drink water out of a dish?
Well, actually, I'm going to make this recommendation. The best assurance you can ever have that your cat will get enough water is to get it a fountain. There are a couple manufacturers of fountains where you have a continuously running supply of fresh water, and cats will drink from that. Celeste, do you want to add on to that?
We've had cats for years, and that never seemed to be a problem before.
Yeah, I know. But that is true. I know somebody in our neighborhood, and she had the same problem, and she was saying, I'm going out of my mind. And I said, well, there are these fountains that, and the water, it keeps moving. It remains fresh. And
even for healthy cats, I don't think even a healthy cat drinks enough water. But the moving water and the sound is so intriguing. And, the fact that your cat likes to drink out of a faucet is a clear indicator that she likes some active water, I guess we should say.
Yeah. Oh, she laps it up. I mean, she does a good job. Yeah.
And these aren't terribly expensive either.
Yeah.
It's not the type where you put water in and it remains full all day. It's actually moving water. And they're called
And there are a couple of different models.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what you think your cat would like, the fountain moves the water a little differently model to model.
If I have another cat, I'll always have one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I assume you can get that at PetSmart.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
The sled dog guy has a suggestion. When we come back after running the dogs, a lot of dogs won't drink water if they're exhausted. And what we do is we call it baiting the water. We put a little bit of fat in it and maybe little pieces of meat or maybe a cookie or something. Just to give it some flavor and some odor, and then the dogs will lap it up real quick. You could try that and see if the cat
Tried fat in my water. That sounds like an intriguing thing to do when I'm thirsty and I don't want to drink.
Well, there's
I'm
powdered stuff.
I'm kidding you.
Oh, you're kidding.
You know, the other thing to think about, too, is I don't know, we feed both wet and dry food, and wet food gives the animal a little moisture as well.
But those fountains are the way to go.
I appreciate the suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Next, we go to Bement, line 3. Hi.
It's just a side comment. You were talking about the movie with the Al-Qaeda. The original was Greyfriars Bobby back in the 19th century, and it was in Scotland. And that was an actual story, too, but that was almost 200 years ago. So anyway,
I remember the book when I was little, and
yeah,
it was a great story.
Yeah, and actually a true story, and long before the Richard Gere thing. I mean, you know.
Oh, no, the Richard Gere is just a remake.
But that was the original for that story.
There was a movie of that, too, Greyfriars Bobby.
The cat lapping water, I've had, over the years, half a dozen cats, and I had one that any time I turned on the upstairs bathroom water, she'd come from anywhere in the house she was, stick her face in the sink, so I'd have to put it on a kind of a fast drip, and she'd lap it up. But she did that every night when I went upstairs. So they have their peculiarities, and some will do it, and some wouldn't touch it with a pole.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm off. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. We're talking this morning with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. My name is Celeste Quinn. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim and his wife raise Malamutes. Carol has a golden and a doodle, and I have a cat.
So we can entertain cat questions. Yeah, companion animal.
We'll do our best. We'll take a shot at it. So anyway, if you'd like to join us this morning, give us a call or drop us an email, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. More after a short break.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you.
On the next Fresh Air, we remember singer Barbara Lee. She died last week at the age of 82. We'll listen to her 1991 Fresh Air concert of Cole Porter songs. Also, an interview with Tina Fey. Her book Bossy Pants just came out in paperback. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Natural Gourmet. Natural Gourmet is a natural food store specializing in vitamin supplements, homeopathic remedies, and organic foods. Located at the Shops of Knollwood, their restaurant features Thai-influenced foods for eat-in or carry-out.
And we're back with Focus. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft, our technical director. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us. I have an email question. Don't know whether they, meaning you two, will be able to answer. I have a lab who's a retired lead or seeing eye dog. Each day when I'm getting dressed and he's in the room with me, he gets up and sniffs at me, my slacks or skirt, while I'm dressing. Does that have anything to do with his training?
No, I don't, my dogs always investigate what I'm wearing, I guess, to make sure I look okay before I walk out the door.
My dogs always sniff my pants because I wipe my hands on them when I'm eating. I've heard there are things called napkins you can use too, but I just find it more convenient. And I also have cookies in my pocket all the time.
Yeah.
Well, so they always sniff me.
Yeah, dogs are sniffing all the time, right?
But then I'll tell you what's really kind of fascinating to me. I can bring home, buy a pair of jeans. They know they're new. They know this is a different item because it doesn't smell
like
perhaps
you.
like me. I
think, and it applies to this woman too, that the dogs can smell the residue, however we may try, of the soaps that we use to clean the pants and to clean our clothes. My guess is that's what the dog's actually checking out. There are odorizers we put in the soaps and things like
but
that.
But I think every household with dogs will have the same experience that the dog is really intrigued by what they're wearing, and fine with me.
Okay.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think it's what they're wearing. It's how it smells.
Black pants. Yeah, then I have that residue from them.
Oh, I see.
Let's take another call. This is a listener in Champaign, line one. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if your guest, being local, had read the News Gazette yesterday. There was a letter to the editor.
Oh, I know exactly what you're calling about, and I was so hoping there would be some rebuttals.
Right. Wouldn't even know where to begin because it just was so hateful. I wondered what you all thought about the pit bull breed, and I'm an owner of one myself, and I think they're fabulous. Dogs, one of the best
I don't know what prompted his tirade, to be quite frank.
I think there was a mauling in Chicago.
There was.
Maybe that was it.
He didn't reference it. It was just like this, you know, this tirade against pit bulls. And I think the comment that really upset me the most, even the good ones should be euthanized. And, you know, who are you to determine what dog should be euthanized just by its breed? It was rather, I don't think it was well fleshed out or thought out when he wrote it. That'd be my opinion.
I thought it was very hateful.
Oh, it was extremely hateful and vindictive and mean-spirited. I'd be willing to bet you he doesn't even have a dog of his own.
Right. Oh, I just wanted to get your opinion on the breed and that letter. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the call this morning. Next we go to Park Forest, line four. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're well, how are you?
Oh, very good, thank you. I have a question. It's probably kind of a dumb question. I'm not a dog owner, but I love dogs. My wife is just allergic to them. But I have a question about kind of how dogs think, because I know you guys have discussed this a lot before, how dogs' minds work. And, pardon me, one of my buddies has a dog that I just love. And, you know, I only see him like maybe once a month or whatever. And anytime the dog, you know, comes into whatever building I'm in and I greet him, he comes right up to me and, you know, I give him a nice, you know, head scratching and all that thing. And I know sometimes dogs don't understand, like you've said, you know, dogs only retain things for a certain amount of time. So I'm kind of wondering, does the dog remember, hey, it's that guy who really...
Oh, you know, when we say they retain things not for a very long time, it certainly has nothing to do with their memory about people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll
remember people. I've had dogs in class 10 years ago. If they run into me, they know me. Neighborhood dogs that I don't see for months at a time.
There are odd things that dogs remember.
Odd things. They'll remember you when you're good to them, and they'll remember you if you're not.
We bought a dog years and years and years ago from a woman, and we were starting out in Malamutes, and she was kind of an established person. And we'd see her from time to time in the Chicago area. And every time we did, until the dog died, whenever she'd see this woman who had bred her and raised her to a certain age, she would just go nuts. She would wag her tail and roll on the ground. And she remembered her till she died.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome that they're able to do that. They remember who you are and other people don't.
There are two other things. One is if they ever find a hole in the fence and they get out, you can put a concrete bunker on that hole. And every morning when you let the dog out, they'll run to that point where that hole was to see if the bunker has moved so they can go through the hole.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is if they ever find a rabbit someplace or a squirrel or food, they will run to that place for every day for the rest of their lives to see if there's any more food or rabbits or squirrels. So the kinds of things they remember are things that are important to their lives. But, yeah, it's not unusual. And it's always nice to have a dog remember you.
Oh, it yeah. pleases me so when I see
it. Yes, me too.
So the dog remembers
didn't know,
me.
Well, does he remember me? Or
oh, yeah.
Or does he just
yeah.
realize, oh, there's some guy who looks happy to see me.
Nope.
I'm sure.
He knows who you are.
Nice.
Well, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
333-9455, the number in the Champaign Urbana area, if you'd like to talk with us this morning. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL, and the email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, we've got a pause in the action here, Carol, and you want to talk with
yes.
us
pause.
About?
P-A-W-S in the... well, for those of you that don't know, January... is Train Your Dog Month.
Train Your Dog Month already?
Already. And it's sponsored by the APDT, which is the Association of Pet Dog Trainers. And it's a great way to get the public aware how much more you can enjoy your life and your dog will enjoy his if you have a well-trained companion.
And a dog. Yeah.
And a dog. That goes to that companion guardian thing. But anyway, we had a meeting, our club meeting, the other evening, and several of our members are members of APDT. And so I invited one to talk about it. And we were brainstorming different ideas and how to reach the public effectively. We thought about flash mobs in the mall, and which I thought would be so cool, but maybe not everybody would.
It was cool in 2009.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's so 2009.
It's so 10 years ago.
But anyway, so we were sitting there thinking, and we have some members that are incredibly creative. They think out of the box all the time, and that's what makes our organization great. However, one of our members thought, wouldn't it be cool to get an aerial photograph and to show our support? Well, that did it. It just lit like fire. So... we are going to, and I'm inviting people to attend this as well, on January 14th, a week from Saturday, we now have someone coming in with a piece of equipment that goes at 45 or 50 feet in the air and a photographer, and our members and anybody else that would like to come, as long as they have a well-behaved vaccinated dog, are welcome to come and join in this festivities. We're going to be spelling out... in orange and blue, APDT. Then we're going to do DTCCU for our dog training club.
How do you spell DTCCU?
And then we're going to be doing Illini. So we want to show our support. Now, the dogs will be in the photograph as well. And the dog needs to be able to sit reliably and to behave well around other dogs. But it would be just the neatest thing to do. We were looking for about 100 people to do this effectively. A great way for us to show our support for APDT. It's not an attention-getting device for us, but it does allow people to recognize the fact that training your dog in Champaign-Urbana and surrounding communities is fairly easy because there's great places to go. And then Illini to show our support.
And what are we calling the
university.
Illini?
Oski Bow Wow.
Oski Bow Wow, I love that.
He loves saying Oski Bow Wow.
Can you guys have postcards? Yeah, postcards.
Well,
maybe?
I'll send you a news release, but I'm going to. We have a person in our club who had this brainstorm idea, and I asked permission to share her email address because she would like people to register with her.
And what is that?
Her email address is bigdogmom1960.
MOM.
BigDogMOM1960@yahoo.com. And she'd like to have the handler name and breed of dog or a mixed breed, doesn't matter. Size of breed doesn't really matter. Multiple dogs from the same household are welcome as long as each has a separate and responsible handler. You don't need to be a member of DTCCU to participate in this fun event. And to make it even more enticing, we've registered
There's
this event
more.
To be accepted by the Guinness Book of World Records. Because how many times would you ever see Illini or Oski Bawa or APDT or DTCU with people dressed in orange and blue with their dog in an aerial photo. So I think it's...
That might be too specific.
It's registered for titling considerations with Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, and give us the email one more time and we'll get it up on our website.
Great. It is bigdogmom1960@yahoo.com.
Okay.
We're going to do it at 9 a.m. next Saturday morning. Registration begins at 8.
Not next Saturday morning.
The 14th. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
The 14th of Saturday.
1 week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're hoping to see a lot of people show up and have a great time.
All right. I think you should, you know, maybe do a poster or postcards or something with that Oski Bow Wow thing. I like that.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Those are my glasses that I hate with a passion, just reacted.
Okay. Let's take another call, and then we've also got an email message to get to. This is a listener in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about a behavior that my dog has started doing when we go for a long run or walk every day through Meadowbrook Park, and we see a lot of dogs always. She loves to interact with other dogs. I've been working on her with her since we've had her for the last 6 months on being less pushy about trying to meet other dogs. But something that she started just recently, and she's 5 years old, she's a black lab, is when another dog is coming the other direction, she will lie down and wait for them and is quite insistent on staying there. She will lie quietly and watch the other dog, and just as they pass by, she'll stand up and attempt to walk over. She doesn't get real excited, but I do have to keep her with me. And I don't know what to think of this behavior, because I know that many people, they will actually have their dog pull over to the side and sit while someone with another dog passes by. Occasionally, someone will try to do that, and then my dog lies down and is staying put on the other direction. What do you make of this behavior?
I think it's something she inadvertently learned and that pleases you. She doesn't, you know, you don't want her to lunge or go greet the other dog, so
right.
She's chosen to lie down. And perhaps while teaching her, you inadvertently reinforce that behavior. Frankly, I don't really see anything wrong with it.
Okay, good.
Is she on lead?
She's just on a regular leash.
Okay, yeah.
So she doesn't have any extension. Is that what you mean? Or
no, he meant if she was off lead or on lead.
Yeah.
Oh,
obviously,
oh,
you don't live near Meadowbrook Park.
No,
yeah.
I don't. My thoughts on it are the only problem I would see is when she tries to go over to the other dog.
Right.
And you can solve that by either keeping her in the down or asking her to sit and shortening the lead. So that if she tries to go to the other dog and she only has 1 foot of lead, she'll come to the end pretty quick.
Right.
And then you give her a cookie or something.
Yeah, and I do that. But she still will get up, even when
I tell her to stay. Yeah,
she'll still get up. And then usually she won't pay attention to me. I can't get her attention until the other dog has passed by. And then I have her watch me and sit, and then I give her a treat. Because I don't know how else to do it, because she won't stay lying down while the dog passes by.
Well, you know, I think that's asking a lot of her
yeah.
to remain lying down. You can set it up with another friend and their dog.
Exactly, and, yeah.
Yeah, and as they approach you and when she starts to get up, you can redirect her attention back to you.
Uh-huh.
Liver.
I don't think, yeah. And then have them walk away and do it over again until she, I wouldn't necessarily make her lie down.
I don't make her lie
I know,
down.
but if she gets up and then that's okay.
Oh, I see what you mean. After she gets up.
Yeah, then redirect her attention back to you. And
when she gets up, that's when I'd start mm-hmm. waving the liver around.
Yeah,
And also, Carol's exactly right. Have a friend with a dog do this so that, for one thing, it's not random. Two, you know the other dog is not going to resent having a big dog staring at them.
Right.
Those kind of variables that you don't want to have to worry about because you're working on something else.
Yeah, sometimes people look nervous as they pass by. And I always say, she's very friendly. She just wants to watch your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like famous last words, hey, watch this. People tell me their dog is friendly. I go, okay. That's when I worry a little more.
Yeah, well, it's true. Actually, we were there a couple of weeks ago, and she was doing that very behavior, and someone let their dog run up to her,
mm-hmm.
said that she was friendly, and then the dog attacked her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Boy, don't you just love people like that?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he let the dog, you know, just run right up to her.
Those people probably think their dog is friendly. And they mistake being friendly with people with being friendly with dogs, which is a whole other world for the dog.
Yeah. I think the lying down is a behavior that she has learned that is that may calm or relax her.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. She will also do it sometimes when she just is watching someone across the street. I mean, as we walk through the neighborhood, there have been two times where she's done it in the middle of crossing the street.
Well, that's not good.
And that's a real problem because she's 65 pounds and not easy for me to, you know, physically move.
Well, yeah, that's why you should always carry treats with you. But it's a behavior that she has.
And she will ignore the treats until she's done.
That's why you really have to get liver.
Something
that's overwhelming.
Her. Yeah.
That if she just can't resist.
If you can't bear the thought of liver, then do some, you know, bake some, boil some chicken with garlic or something that's very, very enticing.
Yeah, I'll have to try that. Might be a little smelly walking around, but
that's okay.
It would be worth it. I carry a tennis ball too because she loves
yeah,
that.
Good.
But I find that when she's really engaged in watching another dog, she.
And this
it's
may
not
be
easy to tempt her.
Yeah, this may be behavior she developed or was taught in her former home as well.
Did you train her to lie down?
No, I never trained her to lie down. I mean, I did train her. She knows what down means just through a dog training class, but it's not something that we regularly have her do, and I never had her do that when we were out.
Well, there are certain ways of rewarding a dog, and one of them is by not bothering them. So, you know, so she lies down because she's learned to do that and she's learned that it's a good thing. And she lays down in this circumstance and you don't say anything. So she kind of says, okay, I'm doing the right thing because I'm not being criticized.
Yeah, I tried at first to get her up and to keep her moving. And I found that it was just physically. Mm-hmm.
I think that now that I'm thinking about it, it probably was a trained behavior that
a
she was taught
trained.
Because she's five and she's only had her 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right, and she was very well behaved when we first got her, so we knew that she was a farm dog, so she was an outdoor dog, but she knew sit and stay, and she was very mm-hmm. well behaved. So this may be a former behavior that...
Yeah, that it's very likely when, you know, if she was a farm dog and perhaps not enclosed...
Right.
She was taught to lie down in the face of distractions so she wouldn't run.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Thinking maybe something like that.
She might have been a dog chaser, or dog chaser, car chaser.
Could have been.
Uh-huh.
And was not kept tethered.
Right.
Not to say all farm dogs are not enclosed in fencing, but, you know.
She was loose, though. We were
okay,
told.
So that may be it as well.
Well, the only problem that I see with it is that she won't get up when, like,
you're gonna
the
have
time
to,
that she laid down in the street.
Yeah, you're going to have to work with her and find a word that releases her from that.
That gets her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's she's obviously been taught it, and it's a coping thing. Mm-hmm.
And then work on that apart from working with the other dog approaching.
With the dogs.
Yes,
yeah.
Just in your backyard, do sit-down stand exercises.
Okay.
So she learns to do them all on command.
Right.
Perhaps a little more.
That's
than
an
she's
excellent
doing
idea.
She knows them. She just doesn't always do them if something else distracts her.
Yeah, I would say that.
Just more work.
She
with
was
her.
Taught that. Mm-hmm.
And in your backyard, you do those, and then you slowly introduce more and more distractions until you introduce another dog. In other
and
words,
then
have somebody
down.
In the family walk by and those kinds of things.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And now our email question. I plan to start raising sheep in the next few years. I know that trained sheepdogs are crazy expensive, but are there any dogs that would be relatively easy to train to keep an eye on the sheep, possibly to help with herding, but not necessarily do the work of a well-trained sheepdog? And we have 2 minutes.
Two.
Well, that's a big question.
You could train the sheepdog yourself. There are classes for that.
Yeah.
Don't you guys have some herders in your club?
We have herders. We don't have any herding events.
Or classes. But we have herders that would be more than happy to share their knowledge. If they're used to protect the sheep, that's a whole different story.
That was my question. Do you want to protect
a Pyrenees or
a llama?
A llama?
I found out that llamas are very good.
Donkeys.
Donkeys are good. But not a herding dog to be sent out to protect the flock. I mean, that's different. Yeah.
Herding dogs, like
border collies,
they herd the dogs. They cannot take on a coyote. They're just too small. And that's why the Pyrenees and other sheep guarding dogs are fairly big animals.
And I think I think that I have read somewhere that donkeys and llamas, they work better in pairs and they like one another's company.
It could be, but I know I had lunch with a friend and she has llamas and she uses her llama or llamas to protect her sheep because they can be pretty darn vicious and they're not going to let a coyote in.
Does your friend use the
cooker?
The fountain.
The fur.
Llama.
She uses alpacas for fur.
Oh, okay.
Llamas for guard.
Okay. Well, there we've got to leave it. We're out of time. Thanks so much. And don't forget, it is Train Your Dog Month. January is Train Your Dog Month. And on January 14th, Oski Bow Wow, register your dog if you'd like to take part at BigDogMom1960@yahoo.com, and we'll put that up on our website, will.illinois.edu, on the focus page.
And I'll send you a press release as well.
Okay, sounds good. And we will see you February 3rd.
I won't be here.
Oh, darn. Maybe Robin will be here.
February 3rd is my dad's 85th birthday.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Have a great time.
He just missed Groundhog Day.
Yeah, so I'll be down in Florida for that.
Oh, well, enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
We'll miss you, though.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maybe.
And maybe we'll have the pleasure of Robin's company. Okay.
She gotcha.
Okay. Take care, guys. We'll see you in February. And that wraps up Focus for this month. How about dogs?